Shalom, this is Billy Brimmon, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brimm classic, one that was made years ago. In my ministry, I trust it'll bless you.
Now, when they brought those little lambs, they came to Passover. They went and offered it up on the Temple Mount to God, but some of the offerings they went and ate in the presence of God. Some of the offerings, called the elevation offerings, they burnt upon the altar to God. But there were many of them that they took with their families and ate before the presence of the Lord and danced and sang. You ought to hear those songs of Zion. They're really a happy people when they're in their land. And so they were to do that before the Lord their God. And the ones they were to eat, they were not to do it just, oh, it's a long way from Nazareth to Jerusalem. I think I'll just offer to God out here under my olive tree. No, you can't do that. They only could do it in Hamakom, in the place. Verse 21, it speaks again of the place. And this Hamakom, then the Jews, the Hebrews of that time, this such emphasis is placed upon Hamakom, the place, that they start looking for it. It is going to be revealed to them where this place is. But they always have it in their hearts, that this place is out there and he's going to put his name there. And they worshiped at Shiloh for 369 years, but it was not yet the place. And the tabernacle was there. They could not yet build the temple because they're going to build the temple at the place. Now, turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And it came to pass, verse 1, after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here's what every one of them said when he spoke to them. There's hardly a way to translate it in English, but here's what it is. Hineni, and it means behold me. It's what Samuel said as a child when he heard the voice of the Lord. It's what Isaiah said. Hineni, behold me. Who will I send? Hineni, behold me. So, God tested Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Hineni, behold me. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Yitzhak, which means laughter, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering and upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Yitzhak his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto Hamakom, the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw Hamakom, the place afar off. Abraham didn't know exactly where it was going to be, but as he got up there, God revealed to him, the oral tradition of the Jews said that the cloud of glory came there. And he saw the place to go, Hamakom. The place that they're looking for, Hamakom. And the place Abraham saw is the Temple Mount of today. Actually, the Dome of the Rock is there, but it's the Temple Mount. In all the earth there is a land, the land of Israel. In all that land there is a city, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. And in that city there is a hill, Moriah. And on that hill there is a rock. And that rock was the place that God revealed to Abraham to go. And you know the story. He offered there upon the altar his son. But, praise the Lord, verse 13, and Abraham lifted up, well, let's read verse 12. And he said, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham. He was ready. And by the way, Yitzhak is a grown boy. He's not a little bitty boy. He has yielded himself. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. This ram from that horn became from then on the shofar. That's where you get the shofar. It's from the ram that was offered up in the place of his son. And that ram calls for, in a way, that ram redeemed Isaac, bought him back. And so the shofar, one of the main purposes of the shofar is to call for the Redeemer, to call for the Messiah when it is blown. Then we have, and Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh. Yireh means the Lord sees, or it means sees, and Yahweh means the Lord. Yahweh Yireh. The Lord sees and he is seen. Yahweh Yireh. We say Jehovah Jireh, that the Lord provides, and he did provide the lamb, but an absolute translation of it is Yahweh Yireh. The Lord sees and is seen right here at this altar. And so on this place, in this place, this rock where he offered up his son, on this rock, God sees and he is seen from here. Yahweh Yireh. So Abraham is connected to the place. I told you about the oral tradition. I used to just throw it all out. And the oral tradition is what Moses received. He received on the mountain the whole Torah, not just the Ten Commandments, the whole Torah. And he received, he was told many things. For instance, I just skipped it over to another chapter, but there is a chapter where it says, and you are to slay the animal as it was commanded you. Well, it's not written down all those intricacies of how to slay the animal. Moses was told it. If he wrote down everything that he was told, you couldn't carry the Bible around. So he wrote down what we need to be written, and then by oral, he transmitted it. Moses transmitted it to Joshua. Joshua transmitted it. And the oral tradition was never to be written. They were commanded not to write it. And so it was given one to another to another. They never wrote any of it down until after the Romans ran them out. And then they thought because they were scattered all over the earth, they might lose it. So three different scholars wrote what they remembered of the oral tradition. And you know how it is. I believe that some of it actually came from Sinai, and they do too. They know you have to divide it. Some of it actually came from Sinai, and some of it was probably man's traditions getting in there. So when I read it, I rejoice at the good things I can learn, and I skip the other. You know, Brother Hagin taught us that his grandpa, during the Depression, had an old cow in the backyard. People had cows in the backyard back then. I can remember my granddad had one and had a barn out toward the alley, and then we lived in town. And he said, we threw that cow bales of hay. And he said, that old cow had the good sense to eat the hay and leave the sticks. And he said, you don't have to agree with everybody 100%. You walk in love, and you, if you, what they say or what they read, you eat the hay and leave the sticks. So that's what I do when I consider the oral tradition. I eat the hay and leave the sticks, and there's a lot of really good hay in it, but there are some sticks you have to spit out. So, but according to the oral tradition, now I've always known, and I knew this before I knew any such thing about oral tradition, I always knew that there's something special about Jerusalem. And I always knew I don't understand what it is. Probably men don't understand what it is, but whatever it is, God knows it, and the devil knows it. So there is, in Jerusalem today, there's about to be an all-out war over Jerusalem. And it's really going on at this very time. But here's what the oral tradition says. The oral tradition says that Adam was created in Jerusalem. and that his body, the dust of his body, is the dust there from that Mount Moriah. And that was the place then of the altar. And then the Bible does say, and this is written in Genesis, it says that Adam, a garden was created eastward in Eden. And then he went eastward in Eden. Now, I was teaching one night, and there was a woman there. It was her husband, actually. She told me, I met him later. But he's a world-famous archaeologist. And he brought me maps from satellite images of maps which show us, there we have the Tigris and the Euphrates River down in the Gulf, the Persian Gulf, but there are two more underground rivers. And there was an article in a scientific magazine that we've discovered where the Garden of Eden is. And actually, I was quoting the article, and she was the wife of the man that wrote it. She arranged for me to meet him. And he showed me the pictures, and he said, isn't it interesting? He was a spirit-filled Christian. He said, isn't it interesting that the place of the greatest wealth on earth right now, the oil deposits in the Persian Gulf, are in the place probably where the Garden of Eden was, because they see the two underground rivers. Remember, there were four rivers that flowed into the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us. And so he was exploring there. He was actually doing a special for National Geographic on it and tracing the old frankincense roots and all these kinds of things. Very interesting work if you have time for it, but all I needed to know was that little bit that he told me about those four rivers. And so according to the Jewish tradition, that is what happened, that Adam was created there on that Temple Mount, Adam and Eve, and then they went to a garden eastward in Eden. Now, according to the Jewish tradition, they always knew, and you've got to remember how long those people lived. I mean, Adam lived a long time. And they told things to the next one who lived a long time and told to the next one. And I didn't bring my book today, but I have a book which tells you just a few people, four people or seven people up to Joshua and this and that, you know. So they heard these things. And when they, according to the tradition, when they, the Noah, when the boat landed from Noah, Noah and Shem, the son that was the down, the Hebrews came from Shem, went back to this Mount Moriah, went back to this Temple Mount, and there they had a school for people to know God. They knew God, and they were teaching other people to know the real God, and they had the school there. And according to the ancient tradition, Shem was the head of that school, and when the community grew to it needed a king, he became the king. And he is the character that's known as Melchizedek. Melchizedek. And Melchi, in Hebrew, is just simply king. And you've heard of Yahweh Sitkanu, Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord, our righteousness. Melchizedek is righteousness. So he was the king of righteousness and the king, it says, of Salem. You remember? Shalem. And so that was an ancient name for Jerusalem, one part of it. I've forgotten which it is, the east or the rest, west, but one part of it was named Salem, actually Salem without the H. And then one side of it later on was named the Lord sees here, Yeru. So then when the two parts went together, it became Jerusalem. And he was called the King of Salem, and he was called the King of Tzedek, or the King of Righteousness.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.